Hello, this is James Bond, the Godfather of Soul. I feel good. You check it out, my man, Mike Siegel. Hit it, buddy. Hit it, buddy. Hit it, buddy.
Be back. Nice to have you with us for another big hour. And I hope your plans for Thanksgiving are beginning to materialize. Lots of people getting ready. I know that we have friends who are going to be preparing a magnificent dinner that we're all looking forward to. I hope you have the same at your home and share that time with your loved ones. I hope you're not going to be in Baton Rouge, Louisiana at the Jimmy Swaggart Ministries, because if you do go there, as unfortunately many people do, you're going to be bilked by a con artist by the name of Jimmy Swaggart, and even a more dangerous con artist, in fact, smarter than him probably, from a business point of view, his wife, Frances. Now, we discussed this last week for a couple of hours on this program Friday night. Again, Friday night, we will take an hour to do the same. And I was just watching before we came on the air. They've put together this little TV network that is seen in various places around the world through satellite and cable and other forms. And they raise money at the Jimmy Swaggart Ministries. And the people who give the money think it's going for religion. Somehow they relate or connect Jimmy Swaggart to God. I don't know how they do it. He is about as far from God as Hamas is from peace, the Palestinian controlling leaders. He just isn't there. His life reflects that, not only personally with his own scandals and his adultery and abuse in that regard, but in the opulent way in which he lives, taking money from people. And I've, for years, found this to be detestable, whether it was Jim Baker, even today Pat Robertson, who somehow has avoided scandal, but lives like a king. And all these guys feed off of Jesus, calling him their God, and I'm not questioning their belief or not non-belief. Maybe they rationalize. I accept the fact that maybe they believe what they preach. But they make fortunes doing it. That's my problem. Never saw Mahatma Gandhi getting rich. Never saw Dr. Martin Luther King getting rich. Saw people who were committed to what they do. Mother Teresa never got rich. And some of these people just violate the essence of decency. And at the top of that list is Jimmy Swaggart. We are joined by Michelle McCumber. Michelle was here last week. She worked for the Jimmy Swaggart Ministries, or the family center that the family worship center and that's connected directly to Jimmy Swaggart Ministries. And we're glad to have her back. Michelle, I appreciate your time. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Very well, thank you. And we always appreciate your coming on. And I know that really, and I'll say this again, we mentioned it last week, Swaggart is no longer considered much of anything. He went through that period in the 80s and 90s when, before his scandal, he had built up this enormous ministry and had been very successful financially and in every way conceivable from a business point of view. Then went through his scandals, and then, in fact, the other day he was on one of his present programs, and he looks very old now compared to how he looked then, but I don't think he aged very well is my point, but he was kind of reflecting about the fact that he went through that period of time. He talked about it as the 80s and 90s, and he said he prayed to the Lord about why he was put through this problem in that way, Michelle, and that he wished the Lord could have done it some other way. And I wanted to put my fist through the screen. Last I heard, the Lord didn't have sex with prostitutes, as Swaggart did.
Right.
Last I heard, the Lord didn't defame his marriage the way Swaggart did, or, in effect, legally steal money from people to aggrandize his own materialistic self. Although I think he's less that way probably than his wife. That's the impression I get. You know better than I do, but I think she's the one that's money-mongering, and he's the one that's the front guy, the conduit for her to make a lot of money. But what about his comments only this week I saw, in his present condition, reflecting about those years and saying that he wished the Lord would have done it in a different way? What about that?
Well, he sees himself as a victim. And that's pretty evident. It doesn't take you very long being around the ministry to figure out that he does consider himself a victim of that time. He does not take responsibility for what he did and continues a life of unrighteousness. And it's interesting because he just... He really views that as everyone being against him, and that was just a form of persecution.
It's almost as if he lives in his own delusional world, that he somehow is some form of deity on earth, because he talks about how he hears from Jesus. I mean, he has point blank said it. He said it back in those 80s and 90s and some of those international preachings that he did, when he talked about the fact that he saw heaven and he saw streets lined with gold and all the rooms in the mansion and all of that. Does he talk that way privately? I mean, you knew him privately. Did he talk that same way privately, or was that just a front for his comments on the air?
I didn't have as much to do with him as I did with Francis, because Francis really dealt with employees and dealing with all the day-to-day business. She probably would be like a CEO. And so really I didn't have too much day-to-day interaction with Jimmy here and there, but not extensive. But no, I didn't hear him speak like that privately, no.
So then it's, and I don't know this, but it's conceivable he doesn't even believe the stuff he preaches, but realizes he can be successful and powerful, or at least was, by doing that. Could that be the case?
I do think that could be the case. I think that he may... I did originally think that he believed it, and it took several years. You know, I was there for 3 years. The first year, I mean, it didn't take me very long before I started seeing that something was hideously wrong there. And I did want to believe that Jimmy did believe that he was doing the right thing and so forth, but the longer it went on, the more I came to the conclusion that no, I don't even think he believes it. And since leaving, I have had so many people contact me. I mean, so many people have emailed me, contacted me, people with much more information than I would ever be able to gather. So in assessing all that, I can't say, because I don't know what's in his heart, but I do not believe that he believes it.
That's a pretty powerful point. Are there others who have worked there who feel the same way, that he just does this as a scam, basically?
Yes. Yes. I would say I have never spoken to an employee that has left there and said really nice, glowing things about them. Now, you know, in their defense, of course, the people that contact me would have a beef against the ministry. But the one thing that struck me being there is, you know, I worked for, you know, a large Fortune 50 company, and in all the years I worked there, I only saw a small handful, I think probably under 5 people ever fired, and that was a large company. But I think I would have to, you know, refresh myself on this, but I think I counted like 40 people or something like that let go while I was there, and that's just the ones that I knew of. They're just, the turnover is astronomical. So, the people that leave there have horrendous stories. They would break your heart. They literally would break your heart.
We'll come back and talk about some of that. We'll talk more about this. And the bottom line point for me is that this is the most ominous, dangerous religious organization in this country, putting aside the Ku Klux Klan or any of that. But of any normal, so-called normal religious organization, Jimmy Swaggart is a huckster, he's a carnival barker, he's a con artist, and his wife is manipulative and dangerous. Stay away from Jimmy Swaggart. Back we are. are. Good to have you with us, folks. Mike Siegel here as we pick up where we left off a week ago. Michelle McCumber is here, a former employee of Jimmy Swaggart Ministries. And Swaggart was a big story in the late 80s, early 90s. Has kind of gone away, but does the same thing even now. And I like to expose this sort of thing because I think it's bilking the public. Though, I would also give the public the right to be bilked. I mean, if people want to keep paying him to live an opulent lifestyle, because that's all it's for, it's not about getting you into heaven. It's not about promulgating the ministry. It's about he and his wife and his son and grandson living opulent lives. Michelle McCumber is here, former employee. Am I overstating the case there, Michelle?
Not at all. Not at all. The one thing I would disagree with you over, though, is you said he was a big deal and he's not so much anymore. Well, I thought that, too, when I first went to the ministry, and really they were just kind of recovering from all that because, of course, he had another fall in 1991 when he was caught with a prostitute in his front seat. And at that point, he told the congregation that it was flat out none of their business, and that's a direct quote. But since that time, he has been rebuilding and rebuilding. And when I got there, it was just kind of in the stages, but it really exploded over those 3 years. And now, with their television network, he's actually reaching more people than he was in the 80s.
So, and was that discussed when you were there? Did they say that they're reaching more people now than before?
Yes.
Do they have any idea how many people? It's one thing to say you've got 100 million or 500 million people within your viewing area, but obviously you could have 9 people watching. Do they have any idea how many people ever watch? Did they ever talk about that?
I don't know. No, I've never heard them discuss how many people actually watch. I've heard them talk about their potential viewing audience, but that's just potential. I mean, that's the number of people that could, you know, tune in if they wanted to, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything. You know, and I did hear the figure, you know, a potential viewing audience of 80-some million. They are on in other countries as well. So, and, of course, with the Internet, they're everywhere. So I'm not sure.
Why is it that people continue to fund what is obviously a wealth-creating business? I wish Frances Swaggart would have gone into some other business and done it legitimately. I think she's exploiting and using religion with her husband Jimmy Swaggart to make money. I mean, that's just the bottom line. So why then would it be that people, if it's so transparent, at least it seems to me, what you saw people there. Maybe you attended some of the church revivals and all that, the church services. If you ever talk to people who attended, what kind of people attended? Because they'd be a reflection of who's out there giving money. What kind of people would attend these services at the church?
Well, it's funny, and if you talk to people that have been there previously and have left for whatever reason, they all say the same sort of things, that the people there seem very mind-controlled, and it was very much a hive mentality. So, you know, it was a group think. You weren't prized as an individual or, you know, as a thinking human being. And a lot of these people, even when facts would come out, they would just deny it. Like, for instance, when I, you know, put the pictures of the printing that they were doing on my website, people said they were photoshopped. I mean, to me, that's like a giant leap. You have to really, really go a long ways to believe something like that.
And yet people, and, even after his, I rewatched the video from 1988 when he, allegedly, because I watched it and I didn't really hear him say he was sorry. He kind of blamed everybody else, but he looked at his wife and said he was sorry, and then looked at the and then said he was sorry to the Lord, all of that, and people were hushed, and it was almost as if they were revering him even more, was what I saw of the audience as they panned across with the camera. It was kind of bizarre. I don't know if you've ever watched that. Obviously you weren't there at that time. But I guess it's the same kind of people now. The robots who just believe that this is their way to religion. He's giving them entertainment with all the singing that goes on and all the rest of it, and the energy and the revivals and the jumping up and down and hooting and hollering and the evangelical stuff, which is fine religiously, but when you start bilking people from money for that, now it's another issue altogether. Is there any value to that? And I suppose these people must feel there is. So I asked you about what kind of people attend and whether they are perfectly content just giving them their money.
Well, many are, obviously, because he doesn't seem to have any problem with raising money. So, obviously, people feel quite comfortable giving him money because, you know, he's putting forth this, you know, facade that he's using it to, you know, promote the gospel. Well, I think if people actually really knew what was happening to their money, that they wouldn't give. They would not be so you know, quick to give him money.
Why is it that, I know that one of the reporters who covered his scandal in the 80s and you talked to said this is now, he's now old news. Why do you think that is when all this stuff is still going on, maybe bigger than it was before, taking more money from people and living this opulent lifestyle? Because we're going to cover stuff in the next half hour that will probably blow some people's minds. But why is it that the media don't want to cover this? I know in Baton Rouge, the newspaper pays them rent for their building. He owns the building. But
yes.
Why in general aren't the media interested, do you think?
I don't know. I couldn't understand that. But a lot of people just said, well, Swigert's old news. And, you know, that I don't think that they realized, you know, how much momentum he was gaining again. So I think that they just discarded it. And a lot of people I talked to just said, well, yeah, of course, we already know that about Jimmy Swigert. So why would we write that?
So it's just known information, and if people still want to donate, that's their business, apparently.
Yeah, it was basically, we already know that he's a charlatan, so why would we, you know, write another story about it? But what they don't realize is that there's a whole new generation coming up that doesn't know the past and, you know, is being hoodwinked.
Well, and that's a good way to put it, because they're very secretive, so they keep all of what we're talking about here pretty quiet. I mean, people who follow him would never know this information. I assume you never saw them put out any profit and loss statements of any kind. They don't put out statements about how they spend their money, I assume, correct?
Mm-mm, no, not at all.
So people
they're
just
highly, highly, highly secretive. I've never ever seen the level of secrecy in any organization ever. It was to the point of clinical paranoia. And to me, it's why are they so putting so much energy into hiding things and keeping things secret? Obviously, they have things to hide, or they'd be transparent.
Well, that certainly makes a lot of sense. And one of the problems is, as we're going to go through it when we come back, the way they just spend money flippantly, invest money in real estate, lists and lists and lists of real estate that they've owned and transferred around and done paper transfers between them personally and the Jimmy Swigert Ministries and the family center that they have. It just, the family church.
Worship center.
Yeah, they're supposed to be separated, but they're not. I mean, it's all integrated.
That's right.
And that's the problem. We'll come back and talk more about that with Michelle McCumber, a former employee of Jimmy Swigert Ministries. And at least we hope here that people will get the message that this is a con job. This is a bilking of money from people. Jimmy Swigert is good at that. And let's get back to it, ladies and gentlemen. Mike Siegel with you as we talk about the Jimmy Swigert Ministries. A lot of people vaguely remember, as I talk to people off the air about it, but he's come back, maybe stronger, not sure about that. But by the way, and we're talking about this with a former employee, which we appreciate, Michelle McCumber of the Jimmy Swigert Ministries. Michelle, he doesn't look as well as one might think if you're doing that well in your business. He looks kind of tired. What was your feeling about his health and his condition in the years you were there, because he looks like he's kind of beaten up by what happened to him over all these years with the scandals?
Yeah, I feel like he has never really gotten over it, and it really was a horrific thing. I mean, not that I'm feeling sorry for him. You know, he certainly reaped the consequences of what he did, but you know, I think it was very, very hard on him because he was considered, I mean, he was extremely popular. And, you know, I think it was very difficult for him to take that kind of a fall. And I really don't think he ever got over it. And I think, you know, that they deal with so much stress. And it's got to be a lot of stress just keeping everything secret and covered up and, you know, paying off people. And it's got to be stressful.
And these are the kind of things that go on behind the scenes there, correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Let's get into a little bit of the, I don't know, what do you want to call it, the pop culture side of it. And then we'll get to the more serious stuff with the real estate. But, for example, apparently you've now confirmed with a couple of sources that his, how do I describe it? I guess she's his granddaughter-in-law, Jill Swaggart, married to his grandson, Gabriel Swaggart. They have some marital problems. You've said previously on this program that the F word would be thrown around at work, of course, not on the air, not on TV, but just behind the scenes. You wouldn't think that of people who are religious and holy and all of that stuff, but she would just flippantly use that language. And then apparently she had a Jaguar and then cracked it up or something and they bought her a new one. What about that?
Yeah, that is what I was told. I've never actually personally seen the Jag, but I was told that by a very credible source, but I didn't want to say until I had that confirmed by somebody else independently, which it was. So I would assume that is the truth, that she had a Jag, and she had some sort of accident with it, and it was replaced for her by the ministry.
All right. Now, the reason I bring that up, look, so somebody listening is going to say, well, so what? I mean, that's their business. The problem with it is, and the only problem I have is that they're taking money from the public to pay for that Jaguar and the replacement Jaguar under the guise of being holier than thou. That the money, the public, I think, assumes that the money is going for religious purposes, not for the self-aggrandizement and the wealth of the people connected to the Swaggart family. Is that a fair point?
Yeah, that's a very fair point. And I think that people are under the impression that they live very humbly and very meagerly. And they've even said things in the past like, we don't even have a bank account. I mean, come on. That is an out-and-out lie. And yeah, people are assuming this is going to, you know, propagate the gospel, and it's not. And it's reprehensible. And I don't have a problem. If somebody is the head of a corporation and they're making, you know, $500,000, well, great. But this is a ministry. And you cannot get up and tell people, you know, give till it hurts when you're dealing with people that are giving, you know, out of their Social Security. You can't do that and then turn around and live a lavish lifestyle. It's not right.
No, and it's fundamentally unethical. And that's my point. It may be legal. I don't know whether they're violating any tax laws or not. I'm not here to judge that. I haven't had a chance to even look at it or investigate it. But the real point is, no matter how you look at it, it's unethical. Because people believe they're giving money to a ministry when they're giving it to give massive wealth to the Swaggarts and their family. And that's why this case of Jill Swaggart cracking up a Jaguar, and then they buy her a new one. And then, from what I understand, they did not fix the owner reported to, or maybe they fixed it, but they did not report it to the insurance company. Is that correct?
That's what I was told. Now, whether that's fact, I don't know, but that is what I was told by a reliable source.
If that's the case, they'd probably want to keep it out of the public domain in any way, because then it winds up becoming fodder for the press. So they contain it. So they're willing to spend, I don't know what a Jaguar costs these days, $50,000 or $60,000, maybe $80,000, $90,000, probably $80,000 or $90,000, and they just blow it off and maybe get the other one fixed. But the reality is that all of the money for those two Jaguars came from the public donating money thinking it was for religious purposes. Is that correct?
Yes, and, you know, they'll defend themselves and they'll say, oh, well, you know, we rent real estate, we do this, we do that. But where did the money for that come from?
Right from the same pot, from the same people. And that's the other thing that bothers me. You know, if the wealthy people give the money, well, you know, then go ahead. But they're exploiting people and making people feel guilty if they don't donate, who are very modest, fixed incomes, all of that. I would assume they get a lot of money from that kind of person. Is that right?
Oh, I would say 90% are from very, very poor people. And, you know, there was a he was a director of finance back in the 80s. Trying to remember his first name, but his last name was Jernigan. And he actually went to the Swaggarts because he saw that they were taking jewelry and converting that for their own personal use, because people will send in jewelry, they'll send in all sorts of things. And they were converting that for their own personal use, and they also had this advertising gimmick for the Children's Fund, called the Children's Fund. And they would get on and say, you know, send money in to help these poor starving children, and, you know, show all the pictures of the children and pull on everyone's heartstrings. But when it came right down to it, only pennies on the dollar were actually going to that fund. And Jernigan came to Swaggart and said, look, this isn't right, and was unceremoniously fired. And there was another instance where somebody that worked there, and I think he was the director of counseling, I'm not sure. But anyway, his name was Noble Scroggins. And he came to Swaggart because he received a letter saying, from this very elderly sisters that lived together. They were very elderly. They were just barely squeaking by on Social Security. And they sent a letter saying, would it be wrong if we commit suicide because, you know, and they had been giving to this children's fund. And they said, would it be okay, you know, with God if we commit suicide so that we can, you know, the insurance money can go to the ministry? Well, this Noble Scroggins, you know, went immediately into Jimmy Swaggart's office and said, look, you know, we got to do something about this. And Jimmy Swaggart just kind of casually put it to the side. He really couldn't care less. And this man quit over this.
Well, it makes the point that we're trying to make here, and that is for people not to donate anything to Jimmy Swaggart. He's a crook. He may be legal. I'm not calling him a criminal, but I'm calling him a crook in the sense of deceptively taking money from people for purposes other than what people think they're giving it. That's crooked. That's just not right. It may not be criminal, and again, I don't know whether it is or not, but it certainly isn't ethical or in any way legitimate. It's illegitimate.
Well, and the fact that he is running businesses, which, you know, he has this big sports complex, and, you know, he's saying that people are renting from him to be able to run that, but actually the person that runs that is paid by Jimmy Swaggart Ministries or Family Worship Center. It's a non-profit employee. So there's all this dishonesty around the businesses that they run, and I find that, you know, shocking, really. Now, obviously, somehow they're getting around it, but there's several businesses that they have like that.
Well, and it's one of these giant pyramids that if the underlying premise were destroyed, the whole thing would collapse, which is why this would be valuable to have. I know some CPAs maybe that I can have a look into this, because it's pretty dangerous stuff. We'll come right back with Michelle McCumber, a former employee of Jimmy Swaggart Ministries. She luckily got out of there. And you're hearing all of the nightmarish behavior of Jimmy Swaggart and his wife, Frances. Stay with us. And let's get back to it, folks. Mike Siegel here. Good to have you with us. We continue the conversation. We're using Jimmy Swaggart as the target, the alleged minister who is ultimately a carnival barker, huckster, con artist, manipulator, mind controller, with his wife, and have done that very successfully, actually. And although he was destroyed in his image in the 80s and 90s, somehow the public forgets, and he comes right back bigger and better than ever, as they say. Michelle McCumber is here. Michelle, he has a whole lot of real estate holdings. I have a list of about four pages. Where did the verification of all of these real estate holdings come from?
This actually came from a website called businessreport.com, and the article was called Jimmy Swaggart, the Land Baron. And so that's where I got these.
Was the point of the article about the same point, his using money donated by people for religious purposes to buy land? I mean, what was the point of the article?
No, it was pretty much just a factual article. It wasn't, you know, calling attention to any of that.
There was no reason for. There was just to show what he had, but no reason for it.
Yes, it's a. It was written in 2007, and I'm not really sure, you know, why it was written, but the information is pretty good.
They were not. By the way, during the years that his religious presence in the media was minimized, they didn't suffer because they owned all of these holdings anyway. Correct?
Yeah, and people, you know, they like to make it sound like they just about lost everything, but yeah, they had a lot of holdings, and that's how they survived. How else would they have survived? Because people were not giving during that time, and in 1988 he had the big fall, but there was also another instance around that same time, which is never talked about, involving another woman called Catherine Camden, and that's never really discussed. And then he had another incident in 1991. So there were a lot of people that supported him up until 1991, and then when they heard that, gosh, you know, this guy is doing the same thing, they stopped supporting him. So, yeah, I would imagine that that's how they survived, on real estate and rental income.
And so then they rebuilt this ministry and made it what it is today. Does the public know, do you think? When you were working there, did you even know about all the real estate holdings that they had? Do the people donating know about all these real estate holdings?
Well, I did know about some, because you hear things. Even just being in Baton Rouge, you hear things. I mean, people know. But other people outside of Baton Rouge are, you know, flabbergasted when they find out that he's got all this and that this is going on. And we'll even so much as call you a liar. But, yeah, people know, and just from being around the ministry, you know, you hear people talking about the fact that the Mall of Louisiana used to belong, that land used to belong to Jimmy Swaggart, and there's another huge retail and residential complex that is very close to the ministry, and all that land used to belong to Jimmy Swaggart as well. So you hear people talking about that.
And also Bluebonnet Boulevard. Well, I mean, there's a whole list here, and I don't want to bore the audience. The Jimmy Swaggart Evangelistic Association, Jimmy Swaggart Ministries, Jimmy Swaggart Evangelic Association again, the ministries, Francis Swaggart by 6 acres from Jimmy Swaggart Ministries. There they are doing inter-trading between themselves, apparently.
Yeah, I found that interesting.
So now, Bluebonnet Boulevard, that they bought property, the importance of that is that the Baton Rouge Advocate is on Bluebonnet Boulevard. And apparently he owns, Swaggart owns the building in which that newspaper is located, and the newspaper pretty much refuses to talk about anything regarding Jimmy Swaggart in any negative way at all.
It would seem that way, because everything up until the time, you know, they used to be very, very vocal, and now all of a sudden it's nothing. So, yeah, I would have to, and I actually contacted someone from the newspaper regarding the printing, and was told that they were not interested. Now, initially, the reporter sounded very, very interesting, but then he said he'd have to talk to his supervisor, and he came back and said, we're not interested. So, you know, what transpired there?
That's a good question.
I mean, it's pretty obvious what transpired there.
And I think we can speculate clearly that he was told, forget it, we're not going after Swaggart. What they've got, and again, we're doing this to expose, because very, very few of the media these days seem to be exposing any of these television preachers. Jim Baker's another one who's come back, not in as big a way as Swaggart, but Jim Baker is back in Branson, Missouri, and he's selling, Swaggart sells DVDs and CDs and donations to people, give all, you know, all kinds of stuff to get people to buy. But Jim Baker is selling multi-year supplies of food because of what may be Armageddon, and you're going to need food. So he's selling food. This guy went through a worse scandal almost than he went to jail. So, I mean, it was arguably worse than Swaggart. Yet he's back selling food. What do you make of that?
Well, it's interesting, and something I wanted to bring up when you mentioned Jim Baker is that Swaggart's had a very big role in his downfall, because they had someone on staff, his last name was Ogg, O-G-G, and he literally was working with Francis and feeding information to the Charlotte Observer, who broke the original article. So Swaggart had a big role in that, and literally on air called him a cancer. I think, I can't remember the exact quote, but basically called him a cancer on I'm not sure now, but.
Well, you know, to be honest with you,
I
probably would have to agree with that. And, of course, the other thing is when you're a public figure, you are open to far more scrutiny and far more evaluation and adjectives, shall we say, than if you're a private person. So Swaggart's open to the very same thing. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, to me, the worst part of that is, you know, I'm not saying that Jim Baker didn't deserve it, but here's Jimmy Swaggart involved in the downfall of not one but two large ministries, one being Marvin Gorman in New Orleans, and telling everyone about their indiscretions, and meanwhile, you know, he was the activities that he was pursuing were much worse.
Well, that's true, and that's why it's the pot calling the kettle black, so to speak, is what that amounts to on the part of Swaggart, and he got his comeuppance as well. But you see, they're coming up now to their so-called Thanksgiving camp meeting. Tell us about that. You were there for those, I'm sure, when you worked there. What is that all about?
Raising money. That's basically what they are. They have these camp meetings. They have them twice a year, at Easter and at Thanksgiving. And it's interesting because employees are expected to, volunteer and so forth. And it's interesting, and I noticed this right away working at the ministry. And I don't have a family, so it didn't affect me that much or bother me that much. But they expect that you are going to be sold out to that ministry. You are going to volunteer. In fact, they make volunteering mandatory. And you're going to volunteer. You're going to be there at the services. You're going to do all this. And you're expected to make that your life. And so here at two prime, you know, times during the year to spend time with your family, you're expected to be, at their services. And really, it's just they get a lot of people in from out of town, and they pump it all up, and they do all their song and dance, and people give a lot of money. They're money-making opportunities.
Well, and you see, when you force people to volunteer, that raises the question of forced labor. We got rid of that in this country after we got rid of the sweatshops. Now, Jimmy Swaggart brings it back, which is very troubling. But that's what they're about, is raising money. I mean, the whole thing is replete with that. And as you've pointed out, there's more in a 24-hour period. There are more hours spent talking about raising money and selling stuff, CDs, DVDs, whatever, than they spend on actual content of programming. So it's a money-raising operation, and I'll repeat that incessantly, because that's what Jimmy Swaggart is about, is making money, manipulating people, power over people. It's a lot of poppycock when he talks about all the stuff religiously, because he doesn't live it. And some of what we've talked about here demonstrates that. And we only have 30 seconds, but Michelle, would you agree that the ministry itself does not live what it preaches to the public?
Oh, absolutely not. No, there's just not even close.
Well, I will continue this. As I've said, I think there needs to be a book, maybe an important op-ed piece that gets out there, something to expose this, and we can talk more about that off the air. I'll be in touch. I appreciate it. Always a pleasure to have you, and you're a very courageous young lady, and I appreciate you being on the program.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Michelle McCumber, former employee of the Jimmy Swaggart Ministries, and whatever influence we can have to expose the truth about Swaggart and his manipulation to raise money. That's what he is, a moneymaker. Not a religious icon, a moneymaker. Mike Siegel, be good to yourself and the world, and the world will be good to you.